Welcome to the Burden and Blessing Podcast, a study and discussion forum on the truth of God's Word. Our CPR series looks at certain topics that come up in life, and we attempt to discuss them in a way that relates to everyone. At times, we bring in the arguments of those opposed to the Word of God in order to practice contending for the faith that God gave His church. It is our prayer that you will be equipped to give a defense for the truths of the Christian faith with humility and respect.
Welcome back to another Burden and Blessing Podcast. I am Pastor Ben Libby, and with me on the line today is Pastor Nathaniel Mayhew. And today we're going to be taking up the subject of marriage in general. We've had some Word of the Week podcasts focusing around different aspects of marriage, and we kind of wanted to do a podcast in general to kind of tie them all together. Nathaniel, how are you?
Very good, Ben. Looking forward to having this conversation.
Yeah, I think it's pretty timely because, as I think we're all aware, the concept of marriage today in our world seems to be ever-changing, always having different definitions by different people. I guess, Nathaniel, just kind of get us going, can you tell us just the basics of how God instituted marriage, what it means, and what it goes back to?
Sure. When, as Christians, we take a look at the gift of marriage, we take it all the way back to Genesis. When God created Adam and Eve, He created Adam. He brought the animals before Him to name him. When Adam gets done, He looks around. He said, hey, every one of these has a couple. Where's mine? And the Lord then puts him to sleep, takes a rib, fashions Eve, and then gives him to the man. And then we have that beautiful description of marriage there in Genesis chapter 2, where the Lord, He gives him this woman, and Adam looks at her and says, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. And then when Jesus speaks about the institution of marriage in the New Testament, and He quotes from those sections, He includes this extra section, which we talked a little bit about some of our Word of the Weeks, what man has joined together, let not man, or what God has joined together, let not man separate. And so when I go through the sixth commandment in catechism class, I give the kids God's definition for marriage. And that's one man plus one woman for life, and that's what marriage is. Now, the world tries to reinterpret that, doesn't it? It tries to say, mm-hmm. Let's change the numbers a little bit. One man plus four women.
Yeah.
For life. Well, that's not what God says. Or one man plus one man for life. Well, that's not God's definition of marriage either. Or sometimes we change the timing. One man plus one woman, we get that part right. But we say, for 2 months or until I get sick of her or him, and that's the end of it. And God says, no, that's not my definition of marriage either. So God has given this wonderful relationship, this companionship, for a reason. And it is something that is struggled with in our society today because, for example, you and I both had a wedding here just recently. Mm-hmm. And in the wedding vows that we use as Lutherans, there's this word that is sort of rebelled against in our society. And it's a very specific word. But, for example, in the vows that are given for the husband, so-and-so, will you take this woman to be your wife? Will you live together with her in the covenant of marriage? Will you nourish and cherish her as Christ loves His body, the church, and gave Himself up for her? Will you love her, comfort her, honor and keep her in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others, be faithful to her as long as you both shall live? The husband then responds and says, yes, I will. The woman then, to the woman we say, will you take this man to be your husband, to live together with him in the covenant of marriage? Will you submit to him as the church submits to Christ? Will you love him, comfort him, honor and keep him in sickness and health, and forsaking all others, be faithful to him as long as you both shall live? Now, those declarations of intent are almost identical, but one says, will you nourish and cherish? The other says, will you submit? And this is one of those things that's really hard to swallow in our society, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. I think, just for anyone, submission does not come easily, I would say. You know, we are sinful, we're rebellious, our sinful flesh hates that word, right? We don't want to submit to anyone, whether it be, you know, our boss, you know, our president, you know, maybe even our husbands, I suppose. But I think the reason why those vows are so different and specific, I mean, that's biblical, right? Like you mentioned in the Genesis account, men and women are created differently. You know, man was created first, and then woman was created out of man. And God, you know, he could have, you know, he could have just made Adam and Eve together, but that's not how he chose to do it, right? He chose this very special way that even after he created Adam first, and then had Adam have all these animals came past him, and he had the hard job of naming them all, but he could see that there was a companion for each one. He recognized that he did not have that, and then God made his wife for him, and like you said, she was bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And I think, you know, going back to what Paul says about marriage in Ephesians chapter 5, he tells wives and husbands very different things, right? Ephesians 5:22, he says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. And then in 25, when he's talking to husbands, he says, husbands, love your wives in the same way as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So wives are told to submit and husbands are told to love. Why do you think Paul makes that very different distinction, Nathaniel?
Well, you have to have an authority. And God has given his authority. You mentioned some really good examples previously. You have authority in government. You have authority at work. You have authority in the home. You know, all of these areas of life, God gives his authority for the purpose of leadership, of being the one where the buck doesn't pass.
Mm-hmm.
And that's his job, but he then entrusts it to certain individuals in this life in order for things to work well. In just about any aspect of our lives, you have to have a system where there's one who passes on to the next, and things then flow efficiently. We have that in the home with parents over their children. If you have the children making the decisions all the time, you're gonna have problems.
Oh yeah.
And like you said, what happens? The kids want to make those decisions, don't they? You have the same thing in government. You have citizens who say, "Hey, I don't like what the decisions that are being made up there." And it's easy to complain about it and say, "Hey, I could do better." But a lot of times you don't have anybody stepping up and saying, "Hey, I'm gonna try to change what's going on." God laid out a particular order in the Garden of Eden before the fall into sin. And he said, I've created one who is going to be the one who is going to be the ultimate one responsible. That means not only does he – some people say, hey, he gets to make all the decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he had to make – it's not that he got to. He had to. There was responsibility that came along with that. And when things didn't go well, guess what? God came to him and said, Adam, did you eat of the tree that I told you not to eat of? Where did he start? He started with Adam because it was his responsibility. God had given him that order. Mm-hmm. And when things didn't go as they should, the Lord came to him and said, what happened? Did you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Did you eat of that tree that I told you not to? The buck stopped with Adam. Now, he tried to pass the buck off, didn't he? He said, mm-hmm. Well, Lord, that woman that you gave to me, it was her fault. She gave to me and I ate. And she passed the buck on to the devil, the serpent in the garden.
Yeah.
So as human beings, we want to pass the buck off, but the Lord says, no, it's going to stop with you, Adam. You're going to be the one who's going to be responsible for this. So we struggle with this in our society, especially now, because of sin.
Mm-hmm.
What God laid out in the Garden of Eden was a good and it was a perfect order. If Adam and Eve would have done what they were supposed to do, there would have been no problem. There wouldn't have been any disdain for one or the other, and things would have gone very well. Now, because of sin, and the Lord gets to that in Genesis chapter 3, that there would now be corruption that would come into that relationship. That now that headship principle would be rebelled against by the woman, and it wouldn't be carried out properly by the husband in either sense. So when we get into Ephesians chapter 5, we have a beautiful picture of the way that it's supposed to work, just like it was supposed to work in the Garden of Eden. And the picture that we have is the way Christ loves his bride, the church. Jesus mm-hmm. gives his life perfectly, sacrificially, in order to protect and to save the church. He has a sacrificial love that he is willing to demonstrate by giving himself into death in order to protect her, to save her. As a result, then, the church is to respond to that love of the Savior, the Christ, by willingly submitting to him. And here's the big key when we talk about submission and leadership. We know, Ben, you and I, as husbands, even as Christians husbands, we do not show the love that Christ has demonstrated to his church that we should to our wives. We fail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We at times abuse our authority, or we don't lead as we should. I mean, there's all different kinds of ways that we fail or neglect to do what the Lord has given us to do. And when we fail to do that, our wives have a reason not to trust us, not to submit to us as well. Now, that doesn't make it right. God still wants the wives to submit and the husbands to love. But what I'm trying to point out is that there is a problem because of the fallen state, because you're sinful and your wife is sinful, because I'm sinful and my wife is sinful. We're going to make mistakes. We're not going to carry that out perfectly any longer. But it doesn't change the fact that what God lays out is a good system. Mm-hmm. And if we work hard to do what the Lord has called us to do, it will work well. It might not work perfectly in the sinful world, but it will work well, and it is the best system that there is in connection mm-hmm. with the order in the home.
Right. And I think when you're talking about marriage and how it should and shouldn't be, like you said, I think like you pointed out, Nathaniel, it all comes back to love, really, right? Because even like you said, when Adam was passing the buck after God said, what happened here? Yeah, he blamed his own wife. Obviously, that wasn't very loving. But he also said, he also blamed God too, right? He said, God, the woman that you gave me, God, like, so, hey, God, this is kind of your fault, you know? And obviously, you can see sin is there, right? That is because fulfilling the commandments, that is done out of love. Love is the fulfillment of the law. So without the proper amount of love, then you're going to come up short, and you're not going to be able to do that. And that you can see that at the very first, you know, in the beginning, you know, when we fell into sin. And kind of how I picture this submission, yes, it does say submit in Ephesians 5 there to the wives, but it's, you can also understand that to the husbands as well. Husbands are also supposed to submit in love. And I was going through the catechism, and it was talking about the sixth commandment, and it brought up this passage, and the way it answers it is God tells of a mutual submission in the relationship of a husband and wife. For wives, it is a submission of trust, as each honors her husband as her God-given head. For husbands, it is a submission of love, as each is willing to sacrifice life itself for the benefit of his wife. The love of Christ is the model. And I think that's really important, you know, talking about any relationship, you know, specifically marriage, that you're supposed to look to Christ. Because look, like Paul points out there in Ephesians, Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. That is what men are charged to do for their wives. We're supposed to love our wives so much that we love her as ourself. She is our body, and we're supposed to even be willing to die for her. That's the love that we're supposed to show our wives, because that's what Christ did.
Yeah, and you know, we have this knee-jerk reaction to the word submit.
Mm-hmm.
But the word submit is all over in the Old and the New Testament. We're to submit to the governing authorities. We're to submit to our boss. We're to submit to our parents. We're supposed to submit to one another in love, Ben, as Christians, mm-hmm. Christian brothers and sisters. So submission isn't the problem. And when we were talking about this before, you know, we have people who come up to us as pastors, and they say, well, I have a problem with what you said. Not really. because all we're doing is we're proclaiming what Christ has told us. So if you have a problem with what I just read in the vows that comes directly from Ephesians 5, what you really have a problem with is what God has to say. And I think that's an important thing to bring out, because it makes it easier, right, for me as an individual who doesn't like the idea of submission to say, well, Pastor Libby, I don't like what you have to say. That's a whole lot easier for me to promote and to talk about and to stomach than to say, I have a problem with what God says here. That's a problem. And that's not a problem that is easily debated by an individual on the street. They're not going to say, I have a problem with what God – the average person isn't going to say, I have a problem with what God is saying or doing here. It's easier to make it about an individual as opposed to God himself.
Right. But, yeah, like you said, we didn't make up these rules, you know. Like, we would never come up with this, because this is the Word of God. This is, you know, better than anything we could have even imagined. So – these are not our rules. And if you have a problem with something that I say, if it's my personal opinion, that's fine. Like, we can disagree on things. But if you have a problem with what God says, and I'm only just repeating, being his messenger, if you have a problem with that, then your problem is much bigger. And it's like Adam trying to blame God. You can't, if you say, okay, God tells me to submit, I don't want to do that. Well, then you got to look at yourself and say, I don't want to do what God has commanded me to do. And that is not a problem with a person in particular, but that's a problem with you. And then you got to look at the law, look at the gospel, say, yes, this, I'm wrong here. I've sinned. And, but I know that God has forgiven me of that. And, I repent, and help me, O Lord, you know, help my weakness.
Yeah. I think one of the – when you talk to a person about this particular topic and the submission of wives to their husbands, one of the examples that often comes up is of, you know, a husband that is abusive or takes advantage of his authority. And we want to make something very clear. God does not – that's not what God wants. And as you read through Ephesians chapter 5 – that is very clear. What God wants of the husband is not to say, hey, you're my wife, you better submit to me. What the husband is supposed to do is demonstrate self-sacrificing love for the wife and not force her to do anything. It is God's word that is coming to the husband and say, you need to love your wife as I have loved you, as Christ has loved the church. And to the wife, it's the Lord that comes to her and says, submit to your husbands. Trust your husband, respect your husband as you would respect me. And so I think that's an important thing. Yes, there are abuses on both sides.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that what God has given to us in his word is bad or that is wrong either. And so we both have a lot of work to do, both as husbands and wives, to live up to the standard that God would have for us. And I think that's the ultimate thing that we want to come back to when we talk about this conversation.
Sure. I guess kind of to go all along with that point, Nathaniel, what is the role of the man as the husband within the confines of the marriage relationship? Like, where does that authority extend to? Like, what matters? And, like, when is it okay for a wife to recognize that you don't have authority in this matter?
Well, it's the principles that we have in Scripture are very broad. Now, ultimately, the Lord wants the husband, the father, to be the spiritual leader of his home. And there are many passages that talk about that. It says, fathers, bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It doesn't say parents. It says fathers.
Yeah.
Fathers, do not lead your children to anger. You know, so all of these passages that deal with the spiritual leadership of the father in the home. And that's what's missing so many times across our country, across the world today, is that fathers are not taking up that important role and responsibility that they have to lead their families to the knowledge of the one true God. Now, outside of that, there are things, again, the buck stops with the husband, right? So it's the Lord who is going to call him to account as to how he did, how he directed and led his family, his wife and his family. But I think we have to be careful that we don't get into the details of, you know, how does that work? You know, is it the does he have to have control of the bank account and make all of those decisions? That is not something that God lays out. And ultimately, if the husband is doing what he should be doing, and he's demonstrating love to his family, then he is going to consider the wisdom, the knowledge, the experience of his wife, and maybe even as his children get older, their thoughts on a particular topic. He's going to take all of those things into consideration. And it's not that he has to make the ultimate decision, but he is answerable ultimately for that decision. So I think it can take different forms, but the key is that the Lord, he places that spiritual responsibility for the family in the hands of the husband, just as he did with Adam in the Garden of Eden, and he is the one who is going to be called to account for how he led his family, directed his family in all of these different areas of life. So again, it might look a little bit different depending on the situation and the knowledge and the experience of a husband and a wife, what their gifts are that God has given to them. That might look a little bit differently, but ultimately it's going to be the husband who's going to be responsible for what the Lord has given as far as those gifts.
Right. And I think, yeah, it goes back to love too, because if your husband loves you as his wife, then he will honor what you say, even acknowledge my wife might be, she might be more talented than me in many of these aspects. Like for me, Nathaniel, I don't have much to do with the finances of my family. I kind of let my wife deal with that because she's better at it than I am. She, you know, has a better sense of saving and spending than I do. And I kind of just like, yep, whatever. I ask her, like, can I spend this money? Because I don't really know what our whole overall, you know, situation is. And she has a much better grasp on it than I do. So I think as husbands, you need to know where your wife's gifts lie. And yeah, listen to what she says, right? And you know, even going back to, you know, the government, God says, you know, you ought to obey God rather than man. So when your husband makes a decision that is not that is contrary to the word of God, then you have, as the wife, you have a right to say, hey, that's not scriptural. You're not fulfilling, you know, your role here. Reevaluate yourself, you know, in a loving way, which might be pretty challenging to do, but yeah, you're supposed to, if you have the love of Christ at the center of your marriage, then you're not going to have any problems. The problem is that we're both men and women are sinful, and we overstep our bounds, and we neglect our duties, and that's when we have trouble.
Yeah, I think it's, I like that quote from Acts chapter 5, which you brought up, we ought to obey God rather than men. You know, that's true of every area of our life, and we need to remember that all authority ultimately goes back to God, and when we have any person who is an authority over us who tells us to do something contrary to what God would have us do, ultimately we are responsible to God first and foremost. And like you said, we want to do that in respect, we want to do that in love, but we are bound first and foremost to follow what God would have us do, and then secondly, whether it be government or work or a home, whatever area it is, that's secondary to what God has given to us. Now, hey, if God doesn't say and we disagree, it's just because the city of Sleepy Eye changes the speed limit from, you know, 35 going through town down to 5 miles per hour, okay, that would be painful.
Yeah,
I can't just say, well, I don't like what you do, God says I have to obey him, not you. That's not the way that we're supposed to use it. If it's something that we disagree with, then we have to follow that. We can work to change the law, but we don't have the authority to just say, hey, I don't have to listen to you. If it's something that is just a personal thing, we go along with it. We work to try to change the minds or to change the law, but we are bound to that authority.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I guess kind of just to wrap up, Nathaniel, can you maybe speak to strategies perhaps on how husbands can better love their wives, can better lead their families spiritually, and perhaps this might be even harder, strategies of how wives can submit to their husbands and try to be God-pleasing in their roles that they have been given by God in their marriages?
I think first and foremost, Ben, the most important thing is going back and being in the Word. If we as husbands are in the Word for ourselves, we are growing in our knowledge of what God has done for us. We are going to be better equipped to lead and instruct and train our families, whether that be our wives or our children, whatever the Lord has blessed us with. It's also going to build up our faith so that we are better prepared to lead our family by taking them to church every Sunday and making sure that they are involved in the different activities that the church has to offer so that they are built up in their faith as well. And the same thing is also true for wives, that if you are studying God's Word for yourself, you can, number one, be a witness to your husband. You can encourage your husband to take that leadership role, to be involved in church, to be there in Bible class, to attend those marriage presentations, whatever it might be, so that he is growing in his knowledge of what God requires of him as a husband. You can be studying God's Word for yourself and saying, oh, this is what – look at the examples of Sarah and Abraham, or you know, all of those examples throughout Scripture. I think of Hebrews chapter 11, the heroes of faith, and learning – what those who have gone before us have done. Another thing that's probably really important for both husbands and wives is to maybe find a mentor, an older member in the congregation or a family member that you can talk to about certain struggles and ask questions. Have somebody there that you can look up to and that you feel safe to be able to discuss those things with. I think that's a really valuable thing too, outside of just the regular constant study of God's Word. It's just so easy to lose sight of the importance of God's Word, starting with Ephesians 5, reading through 1 Peter. You know, all of these passages throughout the Old and the New Testament give us examples and encouragement in living out the roles that God has given to us both as husbands and wives. And if you were to sit down and ask your pastor, hey, pastor, I'm struggling with this, can you give me some sections of Scripture to read through that would help me with this? They would be glad to do that, to give you some sections to start with. If you don't have a pastor, feel free to email us at burdenandblessing@gmail.com. We would be glad to send those things to you. But we really want you to build that relationship with your pastor, if you have a pastor, so that he can work with you and continue to encourage you and build you up in what is going to be a lifelong struggle for us as husbands and wives.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, when it comes down to it, any kind of submission, it's all about love, or any kind of authority too. It's about love. And when you have the love of Christ, it's a lot easier. You still have some hard decisions, you still have some hard situations, but then you have his example, and then you can see how Jesus did it. So I guess for me, for all the men out there, I'd say take your role as spiritual head of your family very seriously. It's easy to neglect that, but yeah, make sure your family is going to church. If they're not, then hey, you need to be the one to say, we need to do this. You know, be the one who says, we're gonna have devotion. You know, we're gonna have Bible study, perhaps. Let's build up our faith, each individual here, and because that's our responsibility as men. And you know, for the women, I'm not a woman, I'm not a wife, I don't have really good experience on that. But yeah, I think like what you pointed out there, Nathaniel, find someone who you respect, who has done it, and like pick her brain, see what she has to say. Say, hey, I'm having this really hard time. Like, do you have any advice? You know, and then always go back to the Word of God, because God's Word is truth. See what God has to say about it, and then when you see what His gospel truth is, then things become less difficult, because Jesus loved us perfectly so much that He even died for us. And we want to respond out of faith with the same kind of love for anyone, for our neighbors, for our leaders, for our spouses. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much, Nathaniel, for taking us through this subject. And we hope and we pray that all you listeners out there will continue to come back and listen to another one of our podcasts in the future. May the Lord be with you.
We hope that you will join us next week for another episode of Burden and Blessing Podcast. Our goal is always to bring you the whole counsel of God. Until next time, go in the strength of the Lord and preach the word.